Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research here live today from Sunshine, Florida. Incredible weather today, guys. I don't like to brag, but I'm going to brag for a second. It's low 70s, high 60s, clear blue skies with not a single cloud nor chemtrail in the sky. Absolute amazing weather today. It was really, really, really exciting when I woke up and I went outside this morning. It was almost like Christmas. I was like, this is really nice, Dad.
This is the Florida of my youth, hence the term Sunshine State. Now it's the chemtrail state. And the weather here has been stunning since yesterday afternoon. And they'll screw it up again here pretty quick with chemtrails. They always do. But every once in a while, they give us a 2 or 3 week break. A lot of news to talk about today. Let's talk about QAnon predictions. A lot of you guys are always calling me up and writing me letters about QAnon. I already told you how I felt about QAnon. This is, Alexander Bruce from Forbidden Knowledge TV. She calls it hope porn, because people want to believe the best of what's going on. I personally think it's a psyop being used by the CIA to control the voters that voted for Trump, to make everybody think that he is God's gift to creation and he is going to fix everything. Well, here's the news short on this. The QAnon predictions have collapsed. You know, I've warned you guys a long, long time ago that when Q claimed that Trump and Jeff Sessions were going to make mass arrests and indict leaders, 56,000 people were going to get indicted, it wasn't going to happen. Okay, it can't be happening. We've covered it in detail that the legal system can't handle that. And we need to realize that the Q's predictions about the big red wave coming in the midterms didn't happen. And Trump's only faking his displeasure with Sessions, as far as I'm concerned, because he kept it for years. And the November deadline for the mass arrest completely failed to materialize. And it's demoralized a lot of the Q believers. So here's my deal with you guys. Stop it. Okay?
Yeah.
Stop believing this guy. It's CIA. I'm telling you. I'm pretty sure that Q will probably change his story now and say that Whitaker will take up the ball and now we're going to have mass arrests, in January or February. This is what they always do. This is right up there. And gosh, don't get mad at me, guys, with the Iraqi dinar. Okay. I've got friends who believe that the Iraqi dinar is going to make them billions of dollars. I mean, I've got people that have gone out that I don't know, but who tried to buy houses in our area, and people who saw my house when it was on the market a few years ago, who had this big cash flow coming in, it was all from the Iraqi dinar. People delude themselves in believing this stuff's going to happen. And guys, it just doesn't happen most of the time. It just doesn't happen. So just forget Q. Oh, by the way, the Keystone pipeline has now been halted. And a setback again for Trump. Federal judge in Montana has temporarily halted the construction of the Keystone pipeline on Thursday, saying that the U.S. government did not complete a full analysis of the environmental impact of the Trans-Canadian Corp project and failed to justify its decision in granting a permit for a 1,200-mile-long project designed to connect Canada tar sands crude oil with refineries of the Texas Gulf Coast. So I'm no fan of the pipeline, but quite frankly, now it's been cranked down. Tucker Carlson, which is no surprise to anybody, it's happened to do the same thing with Beck. When Beck started talking about the Federal Reserve System, he was gone quickly from Fox. Tucker Carlson now is under intense pressure at Fox News. It basically was inevitable that the only brave voice of Fox News was going to get hammered. The left has given him a derogatory term. They call him a nativist, perhaps a degree to the right of nationalist, whatever all that means. Carlson and his family have not only been harassed by their Antifa radicals, which, by the way, were mentioned in Dr. Zhivago, the fall of the Soviet Union with the communists, but he also basically has been assaulted in restaurants with his daughter. In fact, this would be very difficult for me to deal with. His 19-year-old daughter, they were having dinner the other night, and she got him into the bathroom. On the way back from the bathroom, she was going through the bar, and a middle-aged man stopped the daughter and asked her if she was sitting with Tucker Carlson, and the daughter said she'd never seen the man before. She answered, "Well, that's my dad." And he pointed to me, and then the man responded, "Are you Tucker's whore? Whore." And then he called her a string of crude expletives, the 19-year-old daughter. Now, quite frankly, I know we're not supposed to attack people and stuff like that, but I'd have a hard time not cracking that guy over the head with a chair, Austin. The thing that I don't understand is these guys are so well known, and they're running out in public, and they're putting themselves in positions where they can get their parents, their family, or anybody else with them basically accosted like this. And so I'm not saying that they should never go out or be basically stranded at home, but when you go to a republic place like that, just be ready to just remember that you're going to get nailed if they know you on TV. And so it'd been better off for him, for his daughter to have used the bathroom, you know, before they left the house. I'm being very honest with her by now, and to ask for a private room in that restaurant and post security. So that wouldn't have happened, which I'm sure he'll probably do next. I feel bad for him that it happened, because the same thing happened with Glenn Beck. You know, he started getting all of these people giving him death threats, etc. But of course, Glenn Beck is kind of a weirdo between me and you guys. And he sits there and cries on TV. I mean, I just don't really like any of that stuff. To me, it's like you're some kind of, well, never mind, I'm not going to say it. But you got to chill out with the crying. The crying, I don't care if you get mad. I don't care if you scream and yell. Heck, I don't even care if you use a bad word every once in a while. I don't care. I don't have a halo over my head. But don't sit up there and start crying like a baby and acting like a weirdo. Don't do that. I'm sorry, Austin, you know I'm right. Now, here's another problem with Trump. Okay, now you guys will get mad at me if you're one of the Trump lovers. You know, this is for you. You know, we have this Trump now, he has this adulation for these huge crowds. You know, he basically, you know, is trying to do things to stop the denuclearization of, to stop North Korea, which now they're making weapons again. And he makes a bunch of, you know, one-shot lines about the Saudis killing Khashoggi. He's going to drain the swamp. But he keeps the rhetoric going, but he really doesn't do a whole lot with any of this stuff. And it's a problem we've got with this. I mean, you know, we're starting to realize that, you know, when Trump gets pushed back, he basically capitulates and goes along with the Rothschild deep state. I mean, even the first lady had to get involved with one of her people that was working with her, saying, hey, I don't like this guy. And she had to go to the press with it to get him replaced. And she did get him replaced. He just went to another place in the administration. So it's a big deal. And look at the stuff on the border right now. We got all of these people camping out on the borders, climbing border fences. The military that Trump sets 1,500 miles away in Texas, they're not even over there where Tijuana, where they're going across. Military refused to erect tents. They refused to do what he's asking to do. I mean, I thought he was from commander of the chief, and they're saying they're not getting proper, you know, information from him as far as legality, as far as doing all of this stuff. And I agree, we need comprehensive immigration reform, but, you know, you've got a big lapse here with Trump. You know, look at this failure to close the border on these migrant caravans from Central America. Now they're descending upon several of the border crossings of Mexico. He promised that they are not coming in, but they are coming in 1,000 or so a day. And Trump even suggested building additional capacity to house them in U.S. tent cities. And only the military has the ability to do that, and they said, we're not going to do that. So there's no law that specifically states that the U.S. has to allow asylum seekers entrance merely upon their application for asylum. I think Trump would probably say that they should stay outside of the U.S. while they're being processed, yeah, instead of letting them in. So anyhow, so all of this crap with Trump is going on and on and on and on and on. And to me, guys, I'm going to say it again. You know, so many Christians are out there saying, hey, we're going to basically support Trump no matter what. Hey, I got it, okay? He's not Obama. He's not Clinton. But that's 2 years ago. And we got to start holding this man's feet to the fire. I mean, why in the world do we have thousands of people coming into this country every single day now illegally? Why are we letting them in to start with? You know, let them talk to somebody through the border fence and stay on the other side and apply for asylum, and don't let them come in. And who's supporting all this? Who's funding all of this stuff? Who's funding the caravans of trucks and of food supplies and of water and of toiletries for these guys to come all the way from Honduras through Mexico and unfettered, just come right on up into the United States? Maybe Trump should be asking that question. Well, we already know who that is. That's Soros, and that's Rothschilds. But remember, the Rothschilds are also the ones that bailed Trump out of multiple bankruptcies back in the 80s and the 90s. I told you that, guys. I was at that boat show that one time down in Miami, and somebody was joking about how the Trump princess had been foreclosed on and seized by one of the creditors from Trump, and that somehow he got all this money back going again. The guy's got supposedly billions of dollars. I'm going to tell you something, boys and girls, gentlemen, ladies, everybody who's listening right now. This is just a fact. You know, these people that are invited into the boys' billionaire club, this is who these people are. They're selected. They're picked. Nobody gets to go to the billionaire boys' club unless they're being controlled by something. It just doesn't happen. They can't get the funding. They can't get the capital. They can't. It's not possible. They can't do it. Somebody's pushing stocks. Somebody's pushing purchases. Somebody's pushing something somewhere in order to go to the billionaire boys club. Because, you know, for somebody to start off with nothing, Of course, Trump started off with tens of millions of dollars and a lot of real estate his father owned, but start off with absolutely nothing and make it to the Billionaire Boys Club in one lifetime? Dude, you're either a member, a high-level member of the Masonic Lodges, and somebody's giving you a nod. And you think, you really think that, Ted? Yeah, I do. Somebody's nodded. Somebody said, okay, I could tell you right now, I know of a TV evangelist. I'm not going to give you any names. I know too much about these guys. That's why I tell you not to give them any money. Who is based out of Central Florida. Then he moved to Orlando. I mean, then he moved to California. And he was heard out there by one of the Hollywood elite years and years ago to be compromised and to be brought up. And they gave him the nod. I could tell you the name of the guy who gave him the nod. The guy was a known Satanist in Hollywood. And he basically pushed him to the top with funding and support. And then the guy, of course, wrecked his own reputation because of stupid stuff. But the reality is, these guys are given the nod. And somebody says, okay, you can go ahead and do this. And see, that's why if you're worth $20, $30, $40, $50 million, whatever, you know, a lot of people are worth that. They've done that on their own. But when you start getting hundreds of multiples of that, and you start going into the billions and billions of dollars, somebody's got you back. And, then most of the time, the guys that got you back want you to stay, you know, how should you say this? How can I say this in a nice way? Beholding to them. In other words, when they say jump, you're going to go, ha ha. And you say, dig a ditch. You say, how deep? You say, go ahead, screw your friends over here and vote on it this way. You screw your friends and vote on it this way. I mean, think through it for a second. You know, we've got a Republican-controlled Congress right now. We could so easily bring Obamacare back up into the folds and vote on it again now that blithering idiot McCain is dead and gone. May he not rest in peace. And get a vote to go through and get rid of Obamacare once and for all. But they don't do that. Why? Because the insurance companies that are owned by the Rothschild boys wrote the doggone Obamacare program. Even right now with this income tax cuts we had last year, the IRS is changing all the rules and all the depreciation schedules and all the stuff that's going on now to get rid of that. I mean, so we've got a government that's completely out of control, that is owned by the military-industrial complex, controlled by the Sabbatean Kabbalist, Luciferian Rothschild boys, answering only and beholden only to, oh, that's right, the Wave Alpha computer to Lucifer. And that's what's going on. And see, so when we try to give you all of this information like at once like this, I'm not trying to be discouraging to you or whatever. Because as a Christian, here's the deal. We're not from around here, okay? You know, we're passing through. It's like when Vin Diesel was doing that one movie, Riddick, which my wife hates. And I like the movie. It's got a lot of action in it. And he gets put into that maximum security slam, you know, on that hot planet that he's on, crematory or whatever it's called. And he goes, they ask him, are you going to be a convict or are you going to be an inmate? He goes, neither. I'm just passing through. And guys, that's all we are. We have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. People are always asking me, how do you get through the day looking at this stuff? I'm like, it doesn't make any difference. We are in covenant with the Most High God through the Holy Spirit into God's dimension, the Most High. And when we die, we get to be with him for all of eternity. So no matter what happens, we win. And that's why these guys are all bent out of shape about Christians. They can't stand Christians. That's why they have an atavistic hatred toward Christians, because they know that we have the truth and we have the hope and we have the life. And we can walk in love and just laugh at these guys and do our best just to tell the truth and realize that our hope is not in the world. Our hope is in Jesus, our Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. Austin, what's your first story, bud?
Yeah, some other crazy stuff that I saw today with, as far as you talk about how a lot of these people, you know, when they get to that level of notoriety and that level of money, they almost always become compromised. Not all of them, but a huge portion of them. One of those is that I've seen very disturbing video today from Celine Dion, who for the longest time I always thought she was fairly wholesome with a lot of stuff she did, for the most part. Great voice, incredible voice. But she's just started a new genderless fashion brand, baby's name, Celine Nunu. And they released a video, basically a marketing ad, that is beyond creepy with some deep, weird occultic symbolism in it. And I don't know what's going on with her, why she's gone over to this dark side, but it's pretty weird. The general neutral clothing line is basically going global. The video starts out, this promo video, she's sitting in the back of an SUV, like all dressed up, looks real nice, has a nice dress on, and then she says, our children are not really our children. Okay, this is an SUV. Then she gets out of the SUV. As soon as she gets out of the SUV, she's in all black. I mean, black. Everything's black. Black. And she heads into a hospital, into a maternity ward. And this is where it gets really, really weird. She sneaks into this hospital maternity ward, and she walks in. And on the left side are all these newborn babies, and on the right side are all these newborn babies. On the left, they're all in blue, and there's a thing on the wall that basically the male sign, you know, as far as like male bathroom, the male symbol, and the same thing with the female on the other side, and they're all pink. So blue on one side, pink on the other side. Well, then she spreads around this black powder like she's performing a witchcraft ceremony, and the entire room changes. There's all this fog on the floor. This is a maternity ward with babies in it. All the babies now are dressed in the similar clothing with black skullcap bandanas on, black leather jackets on, and there's no more male and female symbol on the wall. There's just plus symbols, meaning basically whatever. And they're hanging from everywhere, and they're intentionally meant to look like crucifixes. I mean, very intentionally. And then it pans over to one of the babies, and it's wearing a shirt. I don't know if it's a male or a female, intentionally. They did that, and he's wearing a shirt that says New Order on it. New Order, as in New World Order. And it was probably one of the most disturbing ads I've ever seen as far as for a clothing line, not to mention from Celine Dion, beyond dark. I mean, and the creepy part to me about it is there's live babies in this music video, or not this music video, this promo video, and it was really disturbing, guys. Very disappointed to see her do something like this, because obviously she has gone over the dark side. She made that very clear. And she is incredibly aggressive on her gender neutral, transgender, everybody gets to be whatever they want gender. By this video, she heavily endorses that. And just disturbing video. But I just wanted to bring that up, guys, because a lot of people haven't really said anything about it. And it was definitely weird to see, especially when you're dealing with newborn babies in a video setting like that, to bring them into that very sinister, dark witchcraft behavior was quite troubling to me, because we already know that stuff operates, but the fact this is going mainstream, and of all people, Celine Dion, to promote a video like this with her new gender-neutral baby clothing line, was very disappointing, Dan.
You know, Austin, it's interesting to me because, you know, Britney Spears went over to the dark side, and
yep,
kind of went nutsoid. You know, Katy Perry went over to the dark side.
Yep.
The one girl who wrote that one song, I forgot her name, Taylor Swift, went over to the dark side. Celine Dion has made hundreds of millions of dollars. It goes right back to what I told you guys 5 minutes ago. Somebody gave her the nod. Somebody gave her a contract to sign. Probably that's in blood. That's my opinion. And she's being told what to do now. Because she always came across as very, very... But she, remember, though, she was really pro gay lifestyle. I mean, her entire troop out there in Vegas, if you watch one of the videos on, they were all like gay. And guys, let me explain something to you about gays. I don't care about gays. They quite frankly, they don't really show up on my radar. I don't really care about them. I just don't want their values opposed to my children or around me. I don't care. What they do in their own life is entirely up to them. They got to deal with it through their own. The word says that we all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So I don't have to be working out their fast, their salvation. It's not my issue. The gay stuff I don't care about. But now, if you're basically sodomizing little children, that really pisses me off. Okay, that makes me really mad. Excuse my language. That means I believe you should go out and get shot. I believe that. But now, if you're a 25 or 21 year old guy or whatever, you're an adult and you're a girl or whatever, I think that lifestyle is abhorrent. But my opinion of their lifestyle should mean very little to them, because I don't care if they think my lifestyle is good, being a believer in Yeshua. So I don't care. The thing about it is keep it away from me. I mean, I remember when back in the Old Testament, when they went into Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot and the rest of the guys, you know, the angels, you know, were in the house, right? And then the gays came up and wanted to sodomize the gays, you know, the angels. And they just said, you know, this place, you know, basically is awful. Let's leave. And they left out. And then, of course, brimstone fell on the fire, you know, destroyed the city and the town, whatever it was. I mean, so when they would engage in that weird behavior with you or your family, yeah, okay. But so that's the problem I have with militant gays who try to force their behavioral patterns on me. Today, I got a letter, an email letter from a medical doctor that I know. and I don't know him personally. I get his newsletter, and a lot of you probably get this. And it came to me this morning, and it really, really ticked me off. And I sent him I sent him a scathing email about it because I told him basically, I told him he was an idiot, and not using those words. I'll read you what I sent, but I told him, I said, it's not okay to do this. And what he said was, he basically said that if anybody calls out somebody for, basically doing if they say it was a white person did it, or it was a black person did it, or it was a Hispanic person did it, or it was a German person did it, whatever, no matter how you say that, you basically are a racist bigot. Now think about it. I'm going to read it to you. And he goes, here's his quote. Who uses words as the first African American or the first woman? That'd be like Amelia Earhart was the first woman who flew across the Atlantic, or the first gay, say the first gay accepted to the Supreme Court. Now, I gotta stop commentary. I'm gonna read you the quote and then I'll start back on it. Who uses words as a first African American, okay, first woman, first gay, etc., in this position is a bigot and a racist. Now, that's a strong statement. A non-racist would look at the human performance and the behavior, not at race, gender, or religion. And he actually sent this out. And I sent him a scathing letter back. And I'm just going to read you my letter I sent him. And I said to him, I said, this is ridiculous. I said, I can't believe that you would send something out like this and basically think this is okay. Here's what I said. I said, Dr. So-and-so, love your health information. I forwarded your email to many people. Here's how I view the term bigot and racist. A bigot is a person who is diametrically opposed to another person's values. I am a bigot towards Catholic priests who prey on children. I disagree with their values. A racist is a person who feels they are genetically superior to another race of humans. Racists, in many cases, believe in eugenics or genocide towards a particular race. Just because someone uses a description, white, black, Hispanic, Russian, gay, whatever, of an individual doesn't make them a bigot or a racist. These are extremely harsh words to use towards someone expressing their opinion. My parents, being raised European, were taught political correctness at a very early age due to the Nazis. The top leaders of the Nazi Party were racist bigots. They expressed their beliefs very concisely. The issue arises that many Europeans, this guy's from Europe, are trained to be politically correct because of what happened in the Holocaust, thereby making it easy to those who are not programmed by the Rockefeller Rothschild indoctrination programmers. If you're going to attack anyone, please attack the medical, pharmaceutical, industrial complex. They are the true eugenicists. Their goal is eugenics. Sincerely, Dr. Ted A. Brower. See, this is the kind of stuff that we've got to deal with all of the time as Christians and as basically people who believe. Because reality is this. There's nothing to saying that Barack Obama was the first African-American president, or that Amelia Earhart was the first woman to cross the Atlantic on an airplane, or that, whatever. You're not a racist and a bigot if you say something like that. This is political correctness, and I sent another note to him first when I was really ticked off, and I said, the racists and the bigots are the people that refuse to look at what's happening with the military industrial complex, with all the wars around the world, and the wholesale slaughter of over 20 million people now since we've invaded these other countries. I said, and all the things that we've done. I said, and also the people that are unwilling to look at the medical industrial complex with the incredible rates of autism, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, Alzheimer's. These eugenicists are the true racists. These are the see Margaret Sanger, she was a real sicko. But you have to understand something. The entire eugenics protocol started in the United States, started out in California back in the 1800s. Especially after Darwin, where it was, his little thing with floating around on the beagle out there, the boat, and he wrote, the origin of man and the origin of the species, that kind of stuff. And he started talking about this whole racist eugenicist thing. Now he has a thing that's called natural selection. I believe in natural selection. I believe that, if you have a person who's running away from lions who can run faster than the person running behind them, that they're going to have a better chance of breeding. Okay.
Yeah.
I believe that. Okay. And so because the person's going to be eaten. Because they don't have to outrun the line, just have to outrun the person behind them. And so I believe all that. I believe that, the thing they always use is the moss in England that became, the trees started turning black and because of the pollution, and the moss that had darker wings lived, the ones that were white were picked off by the birds and eaten. And so natural selection took place. That's what they always like to tell us in college. And so I believe all that. I believe that a lot of times the stronger are going to survive in a species. That has nothing to do, with evolution. That's just natural selection. And so these guys that believe in evolution, that the blacks were inferior or the Chinese were inferior or the Russians were inferior. These guys started this eugenics protocol back in the late 1800s. That moved into the United States and moved into Europe. Hitler got all of his information going after the Jews in, you know, in racial purity from Margaret Sanger and the gangs with Darwin. It started here. Hitler picked it up on it in Mein Kampf. And see, this is the stuff that happens. When you start believing this stuff, that somebody's racially and genetically superior to you, it really makes it a lot easier for you to kill them. Then all of a sudden the Vietnamese becomes a gook, or basically a German becomes a kraut, you know, and so you have to pick names to them to dehumanize them so you can kill them more easily. I mean, this is a dangerous place to go, and I'm against racism, period. Bigotry? Yeah, who cares? If I'm a bigot towards a Catholic priest who likes to rape little boys, I'm good with that. But the racism, that's a hard, hard, hard title to throw to people. And the biggest reason we have that thrown all the time is, again, is because of what happened with the Holocaust. Regardless of the count of people who died in the Holocaust, a lot of people died. I'm not going to get into the count controversy now. But the reality is that whole thing was taught over and over and over again in Germany, and that's why they've allowed millions and millions of gang-raping migrant barbarian hordes to come into their country. And they're scared to say anything about it because it's not politically correct. And now they're losing their entire culture over it. And guys, this doctor that I'm talking about is from Europe, and apparently he has gone through the Rockefeller Rothschild indoctrination camp relatively well. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, more and more people are starting to exhibit that type of behavior. The media, especially the mainstream media, has been doing an incredibly good job at that, is trying to basically cause people to self-censor themselves. I've talked about this in detail, especially with what social media has been doing.
Exactly
the same
right.
concept of what the Chinese social credit score has already begun doing is they're forcing people to essentially capitulate, to self-censor themselves, and to follow the norm and to not say anything they're not supposed to based on the penalized or reward system. And this is what is the, really the goal, in my opinion, of the communism, because I mean, if China, communism China, to bring over to the United States. That's really the big, huge gravy train goal, I think, of the hardcore leftists that are over here, is to bring that social credit score to life. But also, too, you talked about the medical industrial complex killing people. This is an article that I saw earlier. It was quite troubling to me, but it really goes to show you the lack of concern as far as with a lot of medical doctors, not all of them, but some of them. Newcastle's Freeman Hospital in the United Kingdom recently tried to pioneer the use of a surgical robot that was tasked with repairing a patient's damaged heart valve, only to have the machine go completely bonkers and ultimately kill the man on the operating table. According to reports, this first-time-use robot not only physically assaulted a living medic while attempting to conduct the program surgery, it also implanted stitches in the patient's heart in the wrong place and also in an unorganized fashion. The situation can only be described as total chaos, with human surgeons, doctors, and nurses screaming at each other in order to overcome the robot while I was attempting surgery, and in nothing short of a complete and total failure, which caused Stephen Petit, the guinea pig patient in the medical experiment, to lose his life. During a hearing that followed the catastrophe, leading surgeon Sukam Nair admitted that he lacked proper experience in controlling and using the robot, stating he was running before he could walk. Later revealed by the UK's Daily Mail, Nair not only missed a critical training session in Paris that would have taught him how to properly use the robot, he also wasn't present for the other training session that took place at his own hospital, claiming that he was too busy with another surgery at the time to attend the session. While supervisory experts were supposed to have been present for the surgery gone wrong, which should have been prevented this type of nightmare from ever occurring, they too were reported missing when the surgery hit the fan. According to Felice Fay, Nair's assisting surgeon, these overseeing protectors, basically, had apparently gone to the coffee shop right in the middle of the procedure. Nair later admitted that he never even informed Petit that there was an increased risk of complications or death from this test procedure, which represents the first time that a surgical robot has ever been used to try to perform a mitral valve repair and ultimately caused his death. Now, you know, common sense would say, you're using first-time robotics on a surgery. Let's do something like maybe putting a screw into some, you know, a broken bone. Or let's make it even a little bit easier. Let's use it to just stitch up a flesh wound. Let's do some minor repairs here with a first-time robot and see how it works, see how it adapts, see how easy it is to use, and for goodness sakes, get somebody that's actually trained and understands how to operate this thing instead of allowing it to do a valve repair on an open heart surgery on a poor unsuspecting fellow who's basically told this is just a normal surgery, who basically never woke up. And the negligence, though, the negligence, not only was this guy untrained to allow this thing to work, the people that were overseeing it weren't even there for the surgery. They ran out for a coffee break or were hanging out basically at the donut shop, chilling out while this thing ultimately killed the patient on the table. Again, showing you not only the level of arrogance that some doctors operate on, where they really think they are not only above the law, but they simply just don't have to follow rules and regulations because they know more than everybody else. And then on top of that, allowing a robot to do an open heart surgery job like this on an individual and not even telling him the level of danger that he probably was going to be under allowing this thing to operate down. How sad.
Well, let me explain something to you. I don't believe for 1 second that those guys just ran to the coffee shop. I believe they got in there and they saw this guy was an idiot and they were CYA in it and they rolled out. They said, we're not going to be part of this.
Yeah.
This guy's going to kill somebody. You know, my sister's a medical doctor. And I remember she was taught, she always told me, you never admit to anything. You weren't there. You know, you had a cold. And
yeah.
You know, and this is not what she said, but you had a cold and Aruba when this happened. You weren't even in the country. I mean, nothing happened. You ever saw anything. So it's called plausible deniability. It's lie. And so I guarantee they walked in there with this dimwit, thought, this thing's going bad. He's going to kill this guy. He's probably one of these arrogant surgeons who won't listen to instruction. So rather than us being implicated in this, we're going to go get a donut or a coffee or whatever, and we're out of here. And that's what happened. And this guy basically is so arrogant. See, you got to remember something, guys. These surgeons and these medical doctors, these high-end things, brain surgeons, those kinds of guys, cardiologists, a lot of these guys, they become insanely arrogant because every single day they hold someone's life in their hands. Sometimes they keep them, sometimes they lose them. So they become, how should I say, callous towards death and become very arrogant in their godlike abilities because they can take and kill people at will. You know, you'd rather either on purpose or by accident. And, you know, and a lot of these guys, you see them, they'll do surgeries that aren't necessary. You know,
yep.
They'll tell people they have cancer who don't have cancer, just generate more revenue to pay their seven ex-wives and their seven ex-wives' Mercedes payments every month. And so they have to constantly keep a flow of traffic coming in as far as revenue stream to pay all of their bills because they're poor money managers. I mean, if there's a movie you can watch it if you can find it on Netflix. It's called The House of God. Now, you'll never find the DVD. It talks about how they actually go in and basically the whole medical system's corrupted from the inside out. I've got a friend of mine who's a medical doctor, and he said that he knew a guy that every time that the person's insurance would roll out, they'd take him off life support, and the guy would actually mark on one of the hospital radiators another one that he was able to kill. And you guys think, gosh, Ted, really? Yeah, really. Now, the vast majority of doctors are not like that. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, say how horrible they are. They're not. But you got a certain percentage of these guys. You got to remember something. It's like if you get a really good attorney, you know, you can pretty much get away with murder. O.J. Simpson proved that. Okay, but there's really crappy attorneys out there too. They're really horrible. I mean, I've seen some attorneys that, I mean, you wouldn't let them defend your dog if you bit a cat. I mean, God, they're that bad. But then there are attorneys out there that can do anything. There's doctors out there that are amazing. The skill sets they have are unbelievable. But there are doctors out there who are quacks. I mean, these guys are lunatics. They'll turn on a doggone robot that they've never used before and do open heart surgery and kill somebody and go, oops, sorry, I've been bad on my side. I missed that one. Well, crap, you're not playing football. You're not tapping yourself on the helmet. You just kill somebody. What's wrong with you, you nut?
Yeah.
And this is the problem they get. Oh, by the way, why do some scientists say global warming is out and global cooling is in? This is an article by E. Edward Griffin, who is diametrically opposed to Dane Whittington's theory on methane expulsion. And this scientist basically, they're saying that they're skeptical about global warming, make a case for global cooling instead based on solar activity. Then you got this lady named Valentina Zarkova. an astrophysicist, and she says that her climate models are based on the sun's decreasing magnetic activity, so the Earth will experience a cooling effect over a 33-year period beginning in 2021. It's always in 2021. Let's wait 3 or 4 years. If her model proves to be correct and the cooling is not mitigated by the current level of CO2, the global warming case will be shown to be wrong and will expose the flawed science behind it. In addition, the restrictions and punishments against carbon emitters imposed by the United Nations and the Democratic Party will be threatened. Now, these Rothschild boys, this Democratic Party nonsense, these communists, they want to charge everybody for breathing, okay, for CO2.
Yep.
Hey, guys, let me give you a newsflash here. This is something that's really important. People don't get this. We breathe out CO2. The plants breathe in CO2 and give us back oxygen. It's how God set up the plan. It's really important that you understand that CO2 is not a polluting gas. It's okay. The plants have to have it. If the CO2 levels get up, the plants are going to be happier. Now, we're wiping out huge amounts of plants by deforestation all over the world, which is not only reducing the amount of CO2 being used, it's also decreasing the amount of oxygen being produced. In the United States, the world has been in a continual oxygen decline ever since the Industrial Revolution. Now, that's just a fact. Now, so here's the deal about all of this. You know, when you release methane, it becomes like 100 times hotter because of the greenhouse effect of the methane. I think Dane Whittington's right. I think G. Edward Griffith's missing this. And these scientists that are saying that it's cooling off everywhere on the planet, it's not. Europe is experiencing incredibly hot days. Heck, I was up in North Carolina back in October, and it's 95 degrees. Are you kidding me? And now all of a sudden they're spending all this money on geoengineering and aerosol spraying here in the United States to keep us abnormally cold in some places right now, so everybody can say, oh, by the way, nothing to see here. Those chemtrails aren't real. Why would you think they'd spray us? Weather is beautiful like it is today here in Florida. See, this is the problem that you run into, guys. It's the disinformation that's constantly going out. See, in other countries, when I was in Greece last summer, you talk about a furnace. Oh, my gosh, 100 degrees plus every day. And right now it's unbelievably hot over there. And one of the things they did do, and I believe they did this on purpose, with the Deepwater Horizon spill, they really affected the Gulf Stream. And I think that was done on purpose to mitigate the warming waters going up to the Gulf of Mexico, going up to Europe to keep it more moderate up there, keeping it warmer. I believe that was done on purpose. John Moore wrote an excellent paper on that a few years ago. You guys can read it. And it's just that I believe a lot of this stuff is just calculated to do things to us that are nefarious and bad. And so, again, that's why you got to take your supplements. You got to eat clean. You got to go to church. You got to pray. You gotta, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And just chill out and just do what we know to do to the best of our abilities and realize God's gonna sort it out in the end anyhow, and we win. I love that part of the Bible. Officer, what do you think?
Absolutely. Also, too, another news, I saw this article today, and it's ironic when you see how these democratic cities and states that have just are full-blown leftists, they go further and further and further down the hole into debt and can't fund anything because they're just absolute wasteful spending and all basically the free stuff they give everybody. Let me put it that way. They give the free stuff to everybody that doesn't want to work and continue to tax people. To take it another step further now, in Chicago, as you guys know, they're drowning in debt in Chicago. It was just one of the many things that plagues that city. Now, PlayStation gamers are now going to be forced to pay an amusement tax to buy PlayStations or to buy subscription PlayStation services such as PlayStation Now, PlayStation Plus. They're going to be charged 9% Chicago amusement tax every time they go to purchase anything pretty much revolving a PlayStation, including any type of subscription services. Spotify, Netflix, and Hulu are already collecting the tax on customers. Apple, on the other hand, is taking the city to court. Chicago's using this as an excuse to tax the gamers after the city fell to $130 billion total now in pension debt recorded this year, according to Zero Hedge. It said they expect to be hit with whatever series of tax hike politicians will try to enact to reduce that debt. The $130 billion is the total Moody's calculations when adding up the direct pension debt owed by the city government, Chicago Public Schools, Park District, and Chicago's share of various Cook County governments and five state pension funds. Naturally, the amusement tax won't even come close to raising $130 billion, but the fact that debt exists gives city officials convenient excuses to enact more and more and more taxes. A few years ago, for example, Chicago proposed a massive $500 million property tax hike across the board, which, despite its eye-popping amount, was doing little to dampen the debt. They said it would take a $1.3 billion tax increase, not $500 million, to even start remotely funding Chicago's pension plan adequately. Throw in another $150 million or so for the garbage collection fee, more for the sugary drink tax, more for the Uber tax, more for the e-cigarette tax. The city is also considering doing all those now. You still don't get nearly enough to fund the pension promises made. This is what happens when you have people in top positions. They continue to vote themselves more money, continue to take more funds, continue to give free money to more people that don't work. This is the type of city you have when it's fully democratic, leftist, communist controlled like Chicago, to the point now they've stooped down so low that people that simply just want to enjoy a video game in their home now are going to be taxed almost 10% just to do anything at all on those video games, simply because the city is so underfunded because of the massive bloated budget that they've allowed themselves to incur now, Dan. It's crazy because, you know, I'm not a big gamer. I'm not a huge fan at all. But the fact when you start seeing stuff like this, it just shows you that there's no bounds that these guys will stoop to, including e-cigarette tax, sugary drink tax, Uber tax, garbage collection fee tax. I mean, anything you could add on top of, on top of, on top of, on top of taxes, they're doing it now. And it's just crazy to see it as we talk more and more how we're falling into this tyrannical tax state is essentially what it is, Deb.
It is a tax state. It's just, it never ends. It's just a never-ending bloodletting. And, you know, just is what it is. You know, you said, it's like Neil Borch, a friend of mine. I was on a show back in the 90s, in my first book about Maximum Energy. And I remember, gosh, that silly show sold almost 50,000 copies of that book, you know, in the bookstores when we did it. In fact, Charisma House had only been in Christian stores at that point. And that show was so huge that it actually got that imprint into the Barnes and Nobles and the secular stores, because that show did it single-handedly, simultaneously. And it was so funny. He wrote a couple of books called The Shocking Truth About Liberals. And he said this, and you can get them online for a couple bucks. And it was so funny. The books are excellent. He says, the problem is, he goes, it's like the taxes. He goes, they don't ask you if you want to pay a tax. They just pass a law. It's like Obamacare. Yep. You know, they don't ask you if it's okay to do that. If you don't want to get insurance, if you're self-funded for insurance, they're going to charge you a penalty. And if you don't do it, they'll basically put a gun to your head and take your stuff and say you're going to pay it. And if you don't want to support abortion with Planned Parenthood, it doesn't make a difference. We're going to put a gun to your head. You're going to pay the taxes. We're going to support abortion with your money because it's fungible. And if you don't like the National Endowment for the Arts and you don't think that, you know, everybody should be happy, happy, gay, gay, then it doesn't make a difference. We're still taking your money to try to promote that agenda because it's what we want to do with your money. And see, this is tyranny, period. There's no other way of looking at it. It's just straight tyranny, because it's not okay to take your stuff and make you pay for other stuff that you don't want to pay for. But that's what we have right now here in the United States. By the way, a judge has now ordered the White House to immediately restore CNN reporter's Jim Acosta's press pass. I might restore it if I was Trump, but I'd put him in the back corner behind a piece of plate glass. That's what I would do with him. He'd be in there all right, but he'd be in the, I'd get him in the cheap seats. I'd do a Rosa Parks on him, and I'd be you're in the back. Go to the back, and we're done. And hopefully he won't have the same result that Rosa Parks did. And, you know, I have to give that woman credit, man. She changed everything with civil rights laws because of what happened with her. But guys, you know, this guy's no Rosa Parks. This guy's really, really, really bad news. By the way, Matt Caldwell here in Florida, he won his election. Then he lost his election due to a mathematic impossibility as Broward County again produced another 80,000 votes. I mean, it's just crazy how Matt Caldwell won his election for the State Agricultural Commission on Election Day. He's up by 40,000 votes. Based on what was reported, now he's basically behind, and unless he gets a lawsuit going, he won't do it. People don't realize how unbelievably corrupt Broward County is, and how Broward County is just a cesspit. Also, GOP's lawmakers betray voters and choose Rhino Kevin McCarthy as House Minority Leader over Jim Jordan. Just nuts, by the way. The GOP establishment rhinos, these are basically Republicans in name only. These are the hardcore leftists that lied and changed parties to become Republicans so they could control both sides of the party, including Paul Ryan, voted in Kevin McCarthy as House Minority Leader by rejecting Jim Jordan or the Freedom Caucus in a favor with Trump supporters. Dick Cheney's daughter, Liz, was chosen to be the GOP conference chairwoman. The never-Trumpers and the GOP elite are still wielding power in Congress, and Trump has not basically cleaned out the swamp with these guys. DNC chief now admits she does not know how to pay for Medicare for All, which is estimated $3 trillion per year in the United States. She's saying she has no idea how she's going to do this. The CEO of the National Democratic Committee admitted she has no idea how to pay for a socialized medicine scheme known as Medicare for All, estimated to be about $39 trillion. And Nanda, Seema Nanda, the head of the DNC, was asked how she would pay this $3 trillion a year, and she goes, oh, I have no idea. It's just, we have no idea how we're going to do this. We're just going to tax everybody, I'm sure. Also, Antifa menaced city council candidate, Seattle city council candidate, until he dropped out of the race. Seattle, the Emerald City, I don't know why they call it the Emerald City, I'd call it the sewage city, there's a decline due to the explosion of homelessness, rising crime rates, new taxes, skyrocketing housing costs, and likely to change the city council continues without collectivist, socialist, communist policies. Christopher Runo announces candidates for a seat on the Seattle City Council to counter the activist class. The far-left Antifa activists forced him to drop out 3 weeks into the campaign. The leftist menaced his family by trying to get his wife fired from her job at Microsoft, threatening sexual violence against her, and posting hateful messages to his 8-year-old son's Facebook page. These guys are a special kind of steeped in hell kind of group of people. Man, I tell you what, this is exactly what they did in the Russian Revolution. They're doing the same exact template to us again. These leftists out of Broward County, which we talked about them the other day, and who and what these people are. Guys, always remember something, guys. You know, you're going to hear the truth in the show. Now, you may not like it, and you may not even agree with me, because you're going to get Ted Voss's version of the truth anyhow. But I'm telling you, I read all the time, and Austin does too. And a lot of stuff you're being told, especially in the alternative media, oh, gosh, it ain't right. It's messed up. And thanks for listening to me, because, guys, we're trying to keep you guys on point with what we're teaching. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, that's what we continue to try to do, is just bring out as much information as we can to really wake up the entire population. Also, too, I saw this today, which is interesting to see this, as according to the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. Department, Justice Department, is now saying they're about to indict and prosecute Julian Assange. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton, who's basically an unbelievably career criminal, has still never been charged for anything. Sad as that is. And they said the exact charges the Justice Department might pursue remain unclear, but they may involve the Espionage Act, which criminalizes the disclosure of national defense-related information. This is very key right now. In my opinion, the reason why, and this is probably a deep state push that Trump more than likely will capitulate with, is because they don't want something big coming out again before the 2020 election. Assange originally said he was going to drop a whole bombshell,
exactly right,
like he's done repeatedly right before the midterms over Hillary Clinton, if you guys remember that. He never did it. Again, he's been plagued with all types of issues, from health problems to internet problems to death threats every single day. His whole life is chaotic. I mean, I would not want to be him. I'll just be honest with you guys. I mean, he's in a rough place in his life right now. He's basically been stuck in that embassy for the last like 6 years now. He can't leave. And now the U.S. wants to go in and basically try him. And again, like I said, in my opinion, this is because they want to make sure they have him completely shut down and locked up before the 2020 election, because they do not want Trump getting reelected again. And it's just crazy to see, because, you know, we knew strong possibility that nothing was ever going to happen to Hillary. And it's funny that I brought up that Q thing earlier, because I had the same, I've had multiple people bring stuff up to me, and I just giggle hysterically. The fact that all the stuff we've heard about from Q from the very beginning, it sounded like smoke and mirrors. Like, that's it. Basically, it's fear porn. That's what it is. Or, excuse me, it's hope porn. It's making people believe that we're about to have this miraculous thing happen, and 50, 80, 60, 90, 100,000 sealed indictments are going to be opened up, and all these people are going to go to jail. exactly. It was total nonsense. It's been total nonsense. And what they did was they used Q, whoever was the deep state, they funneled out little tidbits of information that turned out to be right, very minor things like, oh, Trump's going to do this, and all of a sudden he says something about it. Trump's going to try to stop, you know, immigration. Trump does something about it. Little minor things. And then he comes out with all these crazy predictions of what's going to happen. None of it's going to happen, guys. The deep state is too far entrenched right now to, A, allow that many indictments. And again, like Dad said, the doggone judicial system can't even handle that level of indictments. Not even close. It would be bogged down for years trying to handle that much crap. Couldn't be done. And so this is what they've done, is to keep everybody right on the edge. Oh, Q's about to do something. Something's about to happen. Something's about to happen. So we constantly do the same thing. And this is what they're trying to do now. Now they're going after Assange, which doesn't surprise me, but they do not want him pushing out or leaking any type of intel for the 2020 election again, Dad.
That's right. In fact, Paul Craig Roberts, here's what he said. I love this. This is good. He goes, the duplicitous U.S. Department of Justice has a secret indictment of Julian Assange that was revealed by a cut-and-paste error. The ACLU describes the indictment as unprecedented and unconstitutional. But this won't stop the criminal organization that is the U.S. government from breaking all laws and the U.S. Constitution in order to exact revenge on Assange for publishing leaked documents proving the criminality and the inhumanity of the U.S. government. In other words, Washington wants to murder the most honest journalist on earth. Now, you heard me say that. That's a quote from Paul Craig Roberts. Washington wants to murder, try for espionage, and have him basically put to death the most honest journalist on earth. Unbelievable to me that this is actually happening in the United States of America. Here's the health news. A new study revealed neurological damage from fluoridated water and the dangers were hid from the public. I mean, you know, this is a Nazi concentration thing, guys. That's what this is. I mean, the fluoride is the active ingredient in Prozac, for heaven's sakes. The active ingredient in fluorine, in sarin nerve gas. And so we're finally starting to learn that evidence of the neurotoxic impact of low-dose systemic exposure to fluoride prompted an investigation by the branch of the government agency that promoted fluoridation since the 1940s after they found out the Nazis liked to use it. This review identifies 10 significant flaws conducted by the U.S. toxicology program and how it's causing a massive reduction in IQ scores in children. That's where we've got to dumb the kids down so they're not just stupid and they can basically be these Generation Zs that do everything they're told to do and basically do everything that the government tells them to do. I mean, fluoride is a neurotoxin, guys. I won't even go to a restaurant and order ice if they have fluoride in their water in that town. I won't do it because how much rat poison do you want in your blood? I mean, I just don't have anything in doing it. By the way, The Manufactured Crisis is a film that exposes the motives behind the mass HPV vaccinations and deadly side effects. You guys need to watch that movie, by the way. It's a new documentary film released online to the audiences of the UK and across Europe, and it basically questions the claims made by the UK, the Danish, and the Spanish health authorities that widespread administering of the HPV vaccine is both safe and a guaranteed means of preventing cervical cancer. All of it's a lie. It doesn't work. It causes massive problems with these young girls, and so many people are dying from this and becoming infertile from it. There's your real deal, as they make hundreds of billions of dollars in these vaccine endeavors to try to vaccinate everybody. It's all about eugenics and destroying the general population and not allowing us to think through complex thought. Okay. In other words, if you try to explain to a person that's been vaccinated, You know, what's really going on or what's really happening in the world, or somebody who's really taken all of their flu shots or loves to drink fluorinated water or diet sodas or whatever, you're like talking to the wall. They look at you with their mouth hanging open like, dude, you know, what are you talking about? Are you nuts? I mean, where do you come up with all this stuff? And you say, well, here's the research. And you show them the research, and they're like, dude, really? Are you going to show me research? None of this makes any sense to me. You know, I mean, a six-pack and a TV, that's all I want, man. I want a six-pack of beer every night, and I want a TV set, and I want a bag of Doritos, and I want to sit there in a stupor and watch TV and not think about any of this stuff. Well, there you go. That's the general population. That's why only a small percentage of the actual people in the United States actually vote and turn up for votes. The other people are disconnected. They're too caught up in their – basically their dopamine triggers and all the weird stuff they do. Guys, I love you. Have a great weekend. Beautiful down here in Florida. I hope we have a great weekend down here as far as sun and fun in the sun. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I had the opportunity to pray for you guys again today. You guys are awesome. Love my groups. Love my people. Love my forums. Love my chats. Love my people who get my emails. You guys are awesome. I love all of you guys who listen. And thanks for supporting us. Thanks for getting your vitamins. And guys, let me tell you, only a small percentage you get vitamins from us. And you know, and that's okay. I'm not going to fuss at you because I appreciate you listening and telling your friends. But you know, next time you go buy a bottle of vitamins from Bayer and Monsanto and you want to decide to go ahead and take something that's probably not real healthy for you, why don't you think about healthmasters.com and just go to our website and say, hey, I want the multiple vitamin, just the multiple. I'm going to make 25, 30 bucks or whatever they cost and get this product and get a product that really, really works. And you support the show. You support Hagman's. You support Hodges. You support Sheila. You support all alternative radio that's supporting us. I love you guys. Thanks so much for your support. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys again on Monday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, guys. And, of course, if you guys have any questions about product, always feel free to give us a call at the web. On the website, we have our phone number, 1-800-726-1834, or you can go into the search bar and type in the word contact and pull up our contact form, and you feel free to send us an email there as far as if you have a question about a product or what to take or what you want to get started with. But the Ultimate Multiple is always a fantastic product to start with. And, of course, be sure to check out all the different huge sales we have on the website right now, including the Dave Hodges Healthy Joint Program put together. We're getting rid of a lot of the joint relief formula. We have some stuff that's expiring next year. So on that kit, you buy that kit and you get two additional bottles of the joint relief formula completely for free. And I'm not misspeaking. Two bottles completely for free. That's on the front page. But jump on that if you guys want it, because we are burning through that inventory very fast, as you can imagine. And it's going to be gone probably before the end of the weekend. I'm going to have to pull it down. So be sure to check that out. And also, too, we have the Healthy Heart Support on sale, along with the COQ10 Ubiquinol, which is a very, very popular product and a very good product, especially if people get older. Even myself in my 30s now, the Ubiquinol CoQ10 is incredibly good for energy and also for overall heart health. So lots of sales. And, of course, please vote for the product of the week. I love to get your guys' vote and response and see what you want to win. Right now the EyeSight is looks like it's got the top votes. Immune Support DS right behind it, along with the creatine and the Superfood Complete. So be sure to check those out on the website and vote for what you want to win. As you guys know, every Wednesday we change it over to the product of the week winner, and it goes on sale for a pretty substantial discount. Gives you guys the opportunity to get stuff on sale that you voted on. So we really appreciate all the support, all the feedback, and thank you for everything you do, guys. Thank you for forwarding our show. You can sign up for our free weekly newsletter on the website as well, and we'll send you guys emails every week, and as long as we'll also send you guys the links to the shows every single day. So we appreciate you guys. We love you. Have a blessed, safe, awesome weekend. Have a awesome Friday night, and we'll talk to you again Monday as always.